This morning, we've been in a series entitled, This Is Us, looking at, although we're a great, different, a diverse people, we're unified in Christ. What Christ does for us is He makes us all one. We may not share a last name, but we do share a name, and it's Jesus. We share that together. Because of Christ, He has brought us in. We are the family of God, the body of Christ. And it's not just here in this room, but extended beyond and far to not just here in our city, other places that are magnifying Jesus Christ, that consider Him the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except by Him. But not just here in our community or our city, but to the ends of the world. People are gathering and exalting Jesus, and we're a part of that body. And that's exciting. Sometimes I think we look around and maybe it's like, oh, is this really it? No, there's so much more. There's so much more. And I'm excited this morning as we've been looking at This Is Us. It's not only been about Lifehouse, it's been about His church. We have looked at our mission, our values, our vision for what we're planning or what we feel like God has given or birthed within us to achieve. And that's this, helping people find and follow Jesus. That is our mission here. It is not to become such a big place and for me to have my own .com. It is for Jesus to be magnified and for helping people find and follow Jesus. I like to think that like Paul, you know, follow me as I follow Christ. But the truth is, if you're following me, you're going to look at me eventually and be like, that doesn't look like Christ. Now, I'm sure it's just me that has those moments that don't quite reflect the glory of God. But here's what I do know, that we can follow Jesus. And there's never been a hiccup in His step. There's never been a miscue where it's like, No. The image of the invisible God is who we follow. And so we want to help people find and follow Jesus. We've looked at our values over the last couple weeks, and we're kind of ending here today and excited to kind of begin to look ahead at what God has for us. But this morning, we're going to look at another one of our core values. And that's this, that we are committed to speaking life. That we are committed to speaking life here at Lifehouse. That works, right? Life at Lifehouse? It wouldn't make sense if it was anything else, I guess. But we're committed to speaking life. And here is what God's Word declares to us in James chapter 3. James chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. In regards to speaking life, it says this: Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. It says this: We all. Did you see that? You see what James is penning? He's saying we all stumble. In many ways. I wish it was just in some or just a minute way or a way, but it says in many ways. We all stumble. Many ways. What maybe you're struggling with may not be my struggle. This is the problem that we have come around as a church. What we have said is because you struggle with something and I don't, yours is sin and mine is not. That is a problem. When we look to somebody else to point out what the Bible says, we are so focused on others' sin, but we should deal with the plank in our own eye before we deal with the speck in our brother's eye. You see, the truth is this, we have plenty of stuff to worry about if we just look within. That'll keep us busy until the day either the Lord returns or calls us home. We don't need to worry. Who will tell them? No, we'll declare the truth of God. But this is what we're called to. What we need to never forget is we all stumble in many ways. And James is making this clear. Why? Because there's beginning to be some people who think, I got it together. And he says, you who teach should be careful because you will be judged more harshly. Those of you who teach, those of you who lead here, do you know that the Bible says that we will give an account for every word? Every word. Boy, how would that sound? Let's just put the last week's worth of words on. Played before everybody. Yikes. But Jesus says, you'll give an account for every word. Let us not forget that we have plenty to deal with within our own hearts, in our own lives, that we would look to somebody else and say, I can't believe. Or how dare they? You know, if you really love somebody, you'll build a relationship and you'll help them rather than point out a fault. It's easy to point out a fault from afar, but when you're close, you can help. See, when I see my brother, you're just the closest. When I see my brother in need or falling maybe into some sin, My job should not be you. My job should be, how can I get close to be there? Because I don't know about you, I'm always willing to take some help. But when I have an accusation, that's usually when I step back. But when somebody comes alongside me and says, "Listen, I see you're struggling here, building this." This swing set. I see you're struggling building this swing set. Let me help you. And I say, thank you, Jerry. Yes, you may help me. I needed this help. We are to help one another, come alongside one another. As he goes on, he says, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone is... That wasn't a part of the message. That was just free. I don't know that was for. It was maybe for all of us. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Look at your neighbor and say, only you. Look at your neighbor and say, only you. Look at your neighbor and say, only you can prevent forest fires. That was my public service announcement for this morning. Only you. By a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Yikes. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Can I tell you the truth this morning? When you think you can do it alone, you're in trouble. That's what this is saying. We can tame and we can teach dogs. We can't teach cats anything. I don't know why we even bother. But we could teach animals. We can tame some animals by ourselves. Can I tell you this morning that God's word says you cannot tame your tongue alone. In your own strength, you can't do it. No matter how great of a thought you may have, no, I'm committed. I will do it. No. The warning here is no man can tame the tongue. Why? So then how? We're going to get into that. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness, especially if we try and drive down 115 on the weekend. Oh my goodness. I was like, what in the world? When you try and turn out of that Michelin State Park, how? How can you turn out? You're causing somebody to curse at you, or you're cursing at somebody. I mean, that's just, I mean, there's no way. I mean, it is something else. So I get it here. I mean, I'm not cursing at nobody, but I mean, I get it. I'm sure I get honked, and people tell me I'm number one a lot when I'm turning out from that spot. I mean, there's just no way to do it. Out of the same mouth come praises and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Let's pray this morning. Father, today we thank you for your word. Lord, this morning I'm praying that, Lord, your spirit would speak. Lord, that your spirit would speak today. That the influence of man would step back. God, that you would just have your way. Lord, that you would speak to our hearts this morning by your spirit. Lord, that this morning, your people, we would have a heart, a desire to say, God, I'm open. Please speak to me. Move in me. Have your way in me. And that, Lord, as we open our hearts to you, that you will, you are faithful, you will speak. God, today I pray that we would understand and see that, God, we can't do this. We can't accomplish this as far as being able to have control of our tongue without you being Lord of all. We need you. So, Father, come and have your way. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Any here raise some children? Okay. Now, don't. So, we are in the process of still raising some children. I don't know if it ever ends, but sometimes as a father, I'm a little frustrated by how many times I have to say the same thing. We are trying to instill and teach our children how powerful and how important what we say is. The problem is, we say it a million times and it doesn't seem to find hold yet. Now I say yet because I believe. I believe not in me, but in God. And not because I have the dues and I've authored the book on how to be the best dad, but because I know the one who is. And I'm not confident in my ability, rather I'm confident in his ability. And it's, I want to say frustrating, because that's what it is, but is there a better word? It's very challenging. When you're teaching or when you're saying the same thing over and over again. Literally yesterday, spoke to one of our children, and I just said, do you understand what you're saying? Your words have power. And we have to be careful that what we say is going to build up, not tear down. We have to be careful with what we say, because what you're saying to your sister is not encouraging. It's not good. Do you understand? I mean, am I the only one who does that? Do you understand? Right? Like, I'm trying to make sure this is sinking in here. Do you understand? Yeah, yeah. Literally 2 minutes later, I hear in a distant room more not encouraging, not building up words. And literally, I walk in there and look them dead in the eye, and I said, really? Your words, son. Oh, I know. Oh, I know. It was like, yeah, I know too, because I'm hearing it. And it's like nothing's registering. And he said, it's just easier. I said, what do you mean? He said, it's just hard. I said, what do you mean? He said, it's just hard to just say. say nice things sometimes. And I said, boy, how do we get Pete? See, when I was growing up, there used to be a strong slogan that said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. See, today we know that that is not true. When more people have committed suicide based on what others have said about them. See, the truth is this, sticks and stones may break bones, but bones will heal. The unfortunate part about our words is they're more powerful than sticks or stones. They can be crippling for a moment, and they can be crippling for a lifetime. See, even in this room today, I'm convinced that if we went through and I said, tell me 10 phrases that somebody has said over you that's really encouraged you, we would maybe struggle to get to 10. But if I said, tell me 10 negative things that people have said over your life as you've grown, we would all not probably have a problem with it. Because oftentimes those negative things stick with us a lot more than the encouragement or the positive thing. See, I know this, that in life, it's easier for me, for some reason, to remember the bad. To remember that mean or negative or critical thing that person had to say, rather than those really good things that many have said. See, the truth is this, sticks and stones, they break bones that heal, but words can penetrate our hearts. And this morning, I want us to see just a couple reasons why at Lifehouse, and I believe as God's church, we have to be committed to speaking life. To speaking life. To speaking life over one another. To be speaking life over ourselves. Now this isn't just this name it, claim it thing. No, this is just biblical speaking life. First reason that I want us to see why we speak life. It's seen here in verses 1 through 4. And it says this. I'm going to start at verse 2. It says, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder. Wherever the pilot wants to go. The very first thing I want us to see, why we're committed to speaking life. Reason number one is because although words may seem small, or the tongue may be a small muscle in the body, there is such power in it. There is such power in it. In fact, Proverbs 18 says that the power of life and death are in the tongue. You know, this morning that we choose by what we say to speak life or death. This is a serious, serious thing that we have to get a hold of. See, the truth is this. There is such power in our words and what we declare and what we say. In fact, the power of life and death. Anybody in here a hunter or a gamesman and have shot or own a gun? Don't worry, I'm not going to take your name down. I just want to know, and know the government's not watching. Guns can be great fun. My brothers and I will go out and we do some shooting from time to time, and we have a great time seeing who can outdo the other, and then saying if we were in the old West, I'd have you, or, you know, I mean, all this stuff, you know. A lot of fun, but can I tell you that they're powerful? And in fact, they're so powerful that in the hands of the wrong people, they're deadly. They're deadly. Things that are meant to bring protection and safety can bring terror and heartache when in the hands of the wrong people. In the same way, our words Unfortunately, the problem with words as opposed to guns is everybody has words. Not everybody has a gun. And you may say, well, Pastor, that's a good thing. Well, I may agree on the other side as well, that it's not necessarily the best thing that we all have words. Because it's how we handle what we do. What will we do with the power we have with our words? Each and every moment, your words can and do bring life or death. Voltaire said something quite a long time ago, but it's been recently kind of elevated, this saying, through a Marvel movie, and it says this. It says, with great power comes great responsibility. That's Spider-Man, for those of you who are wondering. With great power comes great responsibility. How can we be so flippant with our words if they hold such great power? Because we believe the lie that our words don't matter. I'm almost done, I promise. We believe the lie that our words do not matter. That, you know what? You can just say whatever you want. It's going to roll right off my back. Can I tell you that's not always true? In fact, it's mostly not true. It takes a pretty secure, pretty great, pretty grounded and founded person in Christ to be able to handle shots of criticism and negativity. To be able to handle the ridicule and criticism. Why? Because it's death. Words have the power of life and death. My question for us today is, how are we utilizing those words? Husbands, are we speaking life to and in and over our wives? Or boy, are we today maybe need to be the first people who say, God, forgive me, help me understand the power of my words. Wives, are we speaking life? Oh, if that husband, if he would just do, why are you this? Why are you? I'm sure that doesn't happen. Are we speaking life over our husbands? Are we building them up? Can I tell you this? If you're looking for something to find that's negative, you'll always find it. Because what James says, we all stumble. It means if I'm looking to find something to point or pick, I'll find it. Look hard enough, you'll find a defect. Look hard enough and you'll find an issue of life in which God is still helping us grow in. And can I tell you today that your words have power? And with great power comes great responsibility? So my question for us today is, how are we utilizing our words? Maybe you're like, well, why just stop with husbands and wives? Children? Youth? Young people? How are our words? Can I tell you that your words are more powerful than weapons? Like I said, the suicide rate has just exponentially exploded in this age of social media. Because what somebody says to somebody else has such power to bring life and death. Somebody ridiculing somebody for the way they look, for the way they talk, the way that they this or that, or the mistakes they've made, as if none of us have made any, have brought young people to a place that they believe a lie from the enemy, that death is easier than life. Can I tell you that that is not true? Death is never easier than life. I want you to know today that maybe if you're in here and you're struggling with purpose and value, can I tell you that this is the word you need to fill your heart with? Because in this word, you will see that you are loved. That you were loved before you were even born. That he purposed and planned you. That he loves you so much that your purpose is not based on what man would say, but what he has created you for and to be. That while we were still sinners, he died for us because he loved us. And can I tell you today that when the enemy comes and says, you know what, it'd just be easier just to check out. You just say, get behind me, Satan. Because God has a plan for me. And I will trust in him. So young people, your words are powerful. Your words are powerful. When your parents say something and ask you to do something, and then you say something under your breath as if they're so old they can't hear you. Your words have power. Life and death. With great power comes great responsibility. How then, Pastor, are we to use our words? How? We use an acronym here, going with Spider-Man. That how we should use our words. And I want us to see something. This is free. It's web. We're going to use our words as a web. First way we use our words is to worship and praise God. The reason we have breath. David says in Psalms 34 that I will always praise. His praise will continually be on my lips. That our words, how are we to use them? We're to praise the Lord. We're to declare, we're to worship. Well, Pastor, I don't know these songs. It's never about the song. It's always about the Savior. Well, I was good because I knew the last one, but the other ones I wasn't so sure on. It's never about the song. Songs just provide atmosphere. They just help. They encourage. That's why we put words up there. We don't think you know that. But we don't expect you to memorize them as you come in. We can follow along. And you know what? If we're even so daring and so bold in our relationship with God, we go off script. We don't even have to follow these words. We just start praising them out of an overflow of our heart. God, I love you. I don't even know what they're singing right now, but God, I love you. That our words, when it comes down to how we should use them, and here we see that. Please see what the Holy Spirit is inspiring for us here in James. It's not that God doesn't want us to praise. What he's saying is it's not right that we praise and then curse with the same mouth. He's talking about fresh water and salt water. He's talking about things that don't go together. And he's saying this should not go together. That as we praise and we worship God, that we would not then curse. This is not just, well, I don't swear. No, it's about the attitude of our heart. As we speak about somebody else. It's about how we are reacting. We are reacting in love or in anger. So the first way that we can begin to operate in power is we worship and we praise. The second way is we encourage. How do we use our words? We use them as encouragement. 1 Thessalonians 5 talks about, we're so grateful for you, the way that you encourage one another. That we are to be a people that when people think about us, they should think about encouragers. How many know those people in life that you know if you get into a conversation, it's just going to be complaining? It's just going to be complaining about something. Oh, the world's going down. Oh, have you seen it? It's horrible. And I don't know about you, but right now it's really nice in northern Michigan. I'll take the heat. I've got no problem with that. Because I know what's coming. And I'm really enjoying it. Well, there's a lot of things happening. Yeah, there's always a lot of things happening. And in fact, I would say this is not the time that it's been the worst. I can trace back through history many other moments in history that were a lot worse. You know, are we encouraging people with our words? Are we finding things to critique and criticize? Well, Pastor, don't we want to help people grow? Yes. But there is a way in which we can encourage somebody to grow rather than critique them to grow. My heart is that when people think about us in our community, it would be, boy, those are encouragers. Boy, those are people I want to be around, because they're always encouraging. They're always saying things that are just positive. Just as I said, if you always look for the bad, you'll always find it. If you always look for the good, you'll always have something to be thankful for. And that's the truth. And every single person here, I am thankful and grateful, and I could say a good thing about you. You don't even know me. That's okay. I don't need to. I'm glad you're here. And we don't have to know every in and out of everyone to be encouragers. To be encouragers. So with great power comes great responsibility. How do we use our words? We worship, we praise, we encourage, and then the B, we build up, not tear down. Same there in 1 Thessalonians 5. It says, we've heard about your encouragement and how you build one another up. We are called to be builders, not destroyers. Can I tell you, destroying is always fun until a board falls on your foot, cuts you open. I was out here yesterday knocking some wood around because David didn't do it, and I was breaking apart some of these pallets, and boy, I was really doing good. And you know what I thought? You know what? I'm so good with this, I'm just going to wear my sandals and shorts. And what I thought I was doing was knocking a board out, and then the whole thing was just going to pop out. Well, what happened was it popped out, flung up in the air, and came down and hit me in the foot and cut me open. And I'm like, oh my goodness. My tetanus up. I think I'm good. But destroying seems fun until something falls on you. Can I tell you, I'm more excited to build the set for VBS than I am to be out there in the heat, sweating, hurting myself, and breaking it apart. I'm excited to build, and I pray that we would be people who would be more excited to build one another up and to try and tear one another down. You have the ability to do both. You have the ability to do both. What will you choose? Life, death. Build, tear. Encourage, discourage. Worship, curse. My prayer is that we would be, and how we would use the power of our words, is we would worship God and praise Him. That we would be like the psalmist, that your praise would continually be on my lips. That we would encourage one another, and that we would build one another up. Boy, it always feels good when somebody says something nice about you. It kind of makes you walk a little different. Your shoulders go back a little bit more. It's not as gloomy. It's encouraging. It builds you up. We should be that for one another. Pastor, I just can't think of something good to say. There's a problem, because the Bible says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, if you can't think of anything good to say, it means there must not be much good. And our God is good. And His goodness. Oh, well, I mean, like, what do I say about? No. What? How can you build up? How can you encourage? Let that be how people see us. So the first thing, the first reason why we are committed to speaking life is because there is power in our words. The second reason that we are committed to speaking life is seen here in verses 9 through 12. And it says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. The second reason why we are committed to speaking life is not because we understand, not just because we understand there's power in our words, but we understand that there's great purpose in our words. Do you know that with a spoken word, God created all things? That all things exist because He spoke it into being. And in the same way God brought life through His spoken word, let there be light, let there be. And in the same way, there's purpose in our words. Why has God created man in His image? Why? Because there's purpose behind our being. There's purpose in your being. And can I tell you this today? That when it comes to your words, there is purpose for your words. It's not to tear down. It's not to destroy. It's not to bring death. It's to bring life. My heart for us is to see this morning that the Bible talks about words being like fresh water. Yesterday, I told you I was outside knocking around these wooden boards because of David. Sorry, David, I thought you were sleeping. I didn't know you were paying attention. Because David, and I knew you were awake. And I was just sweating. And can I tell you that when I came in and I saw this water on here, I thought, oh, that looks good, but it's not. Cold. Sometimes when we're really thirsty, we'll just take it, and it's wet, right? So we'll take it. But I found a secret that somebody's been putting some bottles of water down in the fridge downstairs. Oh, sorry. There's a lot of fridges downstairs. I saw some bottles down there. And can I tell you, when I ran down, I didn't run, briskly walked, ran down to that fridge, opened it up, grabbed one of those waters, and can I tell you, when I drank that water, oh my goodness, it was refreshing. It was refreshing. I'll try and remember to put another one in there. It was so good. It was restorative. I was exhausted, David. No. Sweat just everywhere. And I came in and grabbed a paper towel, and I'm wiping myself off, and I grabbed that water, and that water hit my throat, and I just, oh. Can I tell you that that's how our words are supposed to feel to people? That the purpose of our words are to bring refreshing, to refresh people, to fill them afresh and anew with identity. Can I tell you today the reason why most of our youth buy into the lies of the enemy is because we're not hearing the right things from the people who should be supporting us? See, my son, he's come home before when people have made fun of him, and he's hurt by it. But as we've talked, I've said to him, now, son, you know that that's not true. And he'll say, well, I know, but it still hurts. So there's power still in the word. But the greater overarching power, I'm hopeful and I believe, is that which I've instilled in him. That you are a man after God's own heart. That God has purposed and planned you for a purpose and a destiny that's far beyond what I could ever imagine or think. And you are not what other people say you are. I always tell them, you want to know what matters, what people say, what I say about you matters, and what your mom says about you matters, and what God says about you. Not in that order. It would be opposite. But what God says about you matters. Stop listening to the lies of people. You are God's favorite. Well, that's not true. Yes, it is. I am His favorite. You are His favorite. God's not like us, that He's limited in human form or human ability. We may only be able to have a couple favorites. He has a lot. He loves you. He cared about you so much that before you were born, He came and gave His life for you. There is purpose in the words that we would speak. And my point, my hope for us is that we would just see these two things, that are the purpose in the words that we speak should be to direct people to Jesus. The purpose in the words that we speak should bring people delight and not anguish. Miss Terry, would you come? My question for each and every one of us today is, if we hold the power of life and death within our words, are we killers? Or are we life givers? Are we speaking life over people? Or are we constantly committed to finding the negative? Can I? Give, that we are called to speak life over one another. My prayer for us is that when people think about us, when it comes to this is us, that we would be people who speak life. Would you stand with me this morning? This morning, my heart is that each and every one of us, no matter where we are, that we would be and our words would be fresh water to people. Cold, fresh water. That we would bring refreshment to people, not anguish. See, the difference between me and David is David just will drink water no matter what. I like it cold. He'll just look at me, well, it's wet. Like, but that's not, I mean, a warm, lukewarm water just doesn't go down the same. Some people can do it. I want that refreshment. I want that feeling of... And my prayer for us is that we would be people, not just who speak life over the people in our own homes, which that should be our priority. See, sometimes we're really good at speaking life to others because we're purposeful. And when we get into our own homes, we can forget we have a greater purpose within our own home. See, the truth is, to me, it matters to me. I want people to come to know Jesus, and I want to see people grow in their faith. But can I tell you that it doesn't matter to me how many would come to know Him, how many would grow in Him, if it would be for the sake of losing my own family? I don't care. My concern is in my home. My care, my concern is there first, because I have a purpose to be a son of God, to be a husband like God, and to be a father who reflects the glory of God. Far before I should be a man on a stage speaking the word of God. Because if it's not in line, it's not real. And I just got to be honest. I haven't been able to do all the things I've wanted to do as a pastor because my family comes first. So maybe I have done everything I've wanted to do. I've missed opportunities. I've missed meetings. I've missed visitations. I've missed different things, but because they come first. It's just how It is. And it's not to downplay anything else. It's just to say we have a purpose. And your words are meaningful. They're powerful, but they can also be very purposeful. That we would not be this double-minded in our words, that both fresh and salt water. No. That it would be a fresh water that would flow from us. Jesus is that living water that would spring forth. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So this morning, I'm praying that God would change some of our hearts. That He would continue to form and that He would forgive us for not truly understanding and knowing and recognizing the power that our words have, life and death. Life and death. Well, Pastor, they just shouldn't have took it that way. What if we just wouldn't have said it that way? Rather than deflecting the ownership, what if we just owned it and said, you know what? That wasn't the best. I didn't handle that the best. My heart is that today some of us would, as we leave this place, bring our loved ones close and just say, you know what, I'm sorry. For not always speaking life. You know what, I'm sorry. For not understanding that life and death is in my words, what I'm speaking over you. And I want us to live. And I want us to live and thrive. And I need you just to forgive me. Can I tell you there's power in that? Well, I can't do that, Pastor. Then they would see that I'm weak. They already know you're weak. If they're a loved one, they already know your flaws. The good news is they've chosen to still love you. So let us be mature enough, right? James, really the practical instruction for spiritual maturity. Let us be mature enough to say, you know what? I'm sorry. Sorry for using the purpose of my words to not benefit us. And I commit that my heart's cry is that God would help me grow. Pastor, how can we do this? How can we use our words with power and with purpose? When our words and when our tongue and when our lives are surrendered to God. With man, it's impossible. You will never gain hold of your tongue. Well, I'll just work on it. No, you need to surrender it. Well, I'll just try a little harder. No, you need to give it up. You need to lay it down. Say, God, I need you to come and move in me. I lay down this control, and that God would move powerfully in us. That this would be us. That when people would think about us, they would describe us as people who speak life, who encourage, who build up, who worship God with our words, who are not cursing, who are not destroying, who are not discouraging. Help that be me, God. That's my prayer this morning. So, Father, today we thank you.